I'm Scott Hansen with NFL Red Zone, and you are listening to the Gridiron Gentlemen.
Now then, everybody, welcome back to the saddest Gridiron Gentlemen of the year, because the 2025 NFL season is officially complete. The Super Bowl is in the books, and we're here to talk about it. I've got two gentlemen here to talk about it with. First of all, we've got Duncan. How are you, Duncan?
I am fine, Will. I have sort of recovered from very little sleep from yesterday. But how are you?
All the better for getting to talk NFL football with you, fine gentlemen. And we have a man who's already warned everybody that he is going to be insufferable until September. It is Seahawks fan Phil Knuckles. How are you, Phil?
Who's sad? I'm ecstatic. This is great. Who is sad right now? Justice has been done. This is one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time. Evil was defeated. We had a great halftime show that pissed off every possible racist out there.
And even more, there are now videos of a lot of 49ers fans who were at Levi Stadium and looking very glum during the Seahawks celebration.
It gets better. You see how it gets better? Everything's better when the Seahawks win things.
If you say so, Phil. If you say so.
Phil is going to be very happy because there's no football for so many months. That means the Seahawks aren't losing anything.
I have a stress-free like 6 months. This is great. I have no questions about the future of my franchise. Everything's looking pretty good.
Well, bully for it. You.
Like I said, I'm going to be insufferable. This is
Yeah. So let's start the insufferability by talking about how the Super Bowl went down. And I think there's only one place we can really start, and that is how suffocating Mike McDonald's defense was. There hasn't been, I don't think, a defensive performance quite like it in a Super Bowl, really. Up until midway through the fourth quarter, the Pats couldn't do anything. And I think the only reason they started to do something is because the Seahawks were pretty nailed on to win the Super Bowl and they kind of went, ah, party time.
That's pretty accurate. Well. Yeah.
It was incroyable.
I quite like the fact that we discussed about how Mike McDonald, the Seahawks haven't really been doing any blitz, and then they open up with the Patriots on the first drive with blitz. Like, oh, they're showing blitz, and then they do that, and then they stop blitzing and still get sacks. Sorry, I'm giggling. Sorry, Aldo. It's funny because everyone has said, oh, well, they don't do this, and then they suddenly went, ah, but we're going to do it.
But we can. We can do this. We are multifaceted.
They weren't a big blitzing team.
No.
James has pointed out that they only blitzed on, I'm going to round up, 15% of passing plays. However, they showed blitz on 47% of passing plays. So it looked like they were going to blitz, and then they didn't. And then when they did blitz, it was often something crazy like...
Devin Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Coming through from the around, gap. Just coming from, or coming just from around the side. Because everybody thought, oh, he's going to go with the receiver. No. No, because clearly the entire line, there was one where the entire line looked like they were just like, well, Witherspoon's going to go with that receiver, right? And Witherspoon just basically went, nope, running straight at the quarterback.
Yeah.
And everybody was just like, oh, no, Drake May's on the floor.
Through the space where Will Campbell was supposed to be.
That was most of last night.
He had a poor Super Bowl, it has to be said.
I hope for his sake one game does not define him.
Well, he hasn't had a very good playoff run either. I think It was good that he got to attempt to play tackle, and now he should kick inside and play guard.
It does not help that they did basically back to back to back play the three best defenses in the league in order.
True.
That'll make, I mean, I'm not saying he played well. I'm just saying it's not going to help. It's going to make someone not playing well look even worse.
And especially as the concern with Mr. Campbell was arm length, and then all the rushes he played in the playoffs were massive long arm freaks, and he was unable to contain any of them. It's
It was a murderer's row.
Yeah, and he failed the test. So
yes. But Will Anderson, Nick Benito, and then the entirety of the Seattle Seahawks.
The thing is, though, he's still a good offensive lineman, but I just think he's overmatched at tackle, which is why he needs to move inside.
Yeah, you need someone a little more freakish and a little more mobile, and he is not that. I'm sure if it involves less moving and more just being a large man in the way, he'll be fine. It's just, yeah. And the thing is with the Seahawks that they blitz with such mobile players that it's just going to make you look even worse. If you're not a mobile athletic guy, you're going to look even worse because they're just basically dancing around you.
I mean, in his defense, generally you would say that O-linemen take a bit of time to develop and really come into their own. It's not,
yeah, that's fair.
Even first rounders aren't like,
no,
always, yes, they're expected to be starters, but they're not always excellent. Not everyone does that. That's why when an O-lineman is excellent straight out of the blocks, they are talked about.
Yeah, not everybody can be a Penei Sewell or a
worse.
Or a Sean Slater or a Tristan Wirfs, yeah.
Joe Alt.
Joe Alt. Well, we didn't need to see much of Joe Alt because Sean Slater, because they're Chargers and they got hurt.
Apparently their practice facility must be too close to an electric relay station or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yes, it's a substation, yes. Yeah. That's what that is. It's the EM field coming off the substation is injuring only people.
Only explanation.
No, it's because you're the Chargers and your medical staff suck.
Because your medical staff started your quarterback's career off by punching the lung of starting quarterback.
Yes, that's bad karma to start your career on.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the Seahawks defense, because they were outstanding. Like the thing that differentiates them from the other top defenses that are played in this playoffs is the other defenses won because the players they had were better than you, especially like the Texans. The Texans don't do anything fancy; they line up against away from across from you, and they beat you because they're better than you.
Because they have Will Anderson and Daniel Hunter. Yeah, they're just better.
They're just better than you. Whereas the Seahawks. Now, I'm not saying they're not good football players.
No.
They're all good football players, but they are not. They are not the athletic freaks. First round talent of the Texans or even the Broncos, they're just so incredibly well schemed.
I would say that it's more, they're not maybe that superstar level, but they are still very. Emenwari is a bit of a freak.
It's kind of the difference between being attacked by a lone tiger or a pack of wolves.
Dire wolves in this case.
Angry dire wolves.
I mean,
the tiger will kill you. But there's only one of them. Whereas the pack of wolves, they'll all kill you. Or, you know, it's like being attacked by a T-Rex or the velociraptors.
It's you know... we've answered the classic question: would you rather be attacked by one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses? Clearly, the duck-sized horses are the worst thing.
Yeah. Especially if they're well organized.
Well organized, well drilled, well coached pack, 100 tuck-side horses is not what you want to face in the Super Bowl.
It is not. It is not. That is not an ideal situation for anyone.
But the scheme, the scheme was fantastic. It was just so much disguise and really, really messed with Drake May's head. They did a fantastic job of disguising their coverage, disguising their blitz package, rolling their pressure to, well, always to the right side of that offense, Patriots offensive line.
Yep.
It was a masterclass in a defensive play calling, a defensive scheming. It was super impressive. And you'd want to give the MVP to the whole defense. That's just not something that happens. And I think it should, I would have preferred the MVP to have gone to a defensive player rather than who it went to, which we'll, who we'll talk about a bit later. Because although he had a very good game.
I agree. But I'm not sure
which, because of the defense.
I'm not sure which one player you give it to. And I think that's maybe that's, where...
I agree with that, but I still want to go to a defensive
player. I mean, if you could give it just like, look, it's the defense. The defense is the MVP of this thing, which is accurate.
Maybe give it to Julian Love for managing to punch a guy and get away with it.
I mean, I was going to give it to Witherspoon because, what, he had 6 sacks? 5 sacks? Something like that.
He did a lot.
Derek Cole had 2. Byron Murphy had 2. Devin Witherspoon had 1. Riley Mills
was it
had
only
1.
Yeah, I think he only had the 1, but I think he got a lot of pressures.
That was it. I don't know. I just felt Witherspoon seemed to be in May's face all the time, but
because it was by design, because you just don't expect. The thing is, he does. They do use him in weird disguised blitzes and stuff like that. They do, but it's never. He's never coming from where you think he's going to be coming from. You know he's going to be turning up at some point. You just don't really expect him. It's. Oh, God, people aren't going to get this if they're young. It's like Kato with Inspector Clouseau in the Pink Panther, just jumping out immediately from a cupboard or somewhere completely unexpected. Yeah, that's kind of what he was. Just all of a sudden, Devin Witherspoon, directly in your face, either putting pressure on you or making the pass really difficult. And it's not just him they did it with. This is the thing, is it's just the way they schemed it up, that, as Will pointed out, is with all the disguise and everything else, you just didn't know where they were going to be coming from. You know, when it is just Will Anderson and Daniel Hunter, you kind of have no idea where they're going to be coming from because you just need to see where they are. So it's going to be one of those two guys. They're going to be the ones that are trying to hit me. The problem with the Seahawks is they're all trying to kill you. All of them.
It also helps when the Patriots don't really change anything up on the offense. They didn't. I mean,
oh, yeah, that's fair.
You then rely on Drake May, which is kind of what they do, and he's still created. I mean, what his best pass was stupid. Was
the one over the top to Mac Hollins. Yeah,
that was crazy. And it's like, okay, so you do that one, and the other ones have missed for various reasons. You know, you've had slight, what would we say, he threw a second too late, and so one
just
miss.
There was no bread and butter stuff for him.
No,
we took that away. So it was either going to be a panic, like dump off pass that we could then swarm on, and you're only going to get a couple of yards, or you're having to go for those deep shots down to receivers who aren't elite enough to have an advantage over the Seahawks secondary. You know, if you'd had prime Stephon Diggs, this may have been slightly different, because then you've got a target down there who can beat double coverage and stuff like that. But
he's been dumped by Cardi B halfway through the Super Bowl, so
he's an ass. What do you want?
I'm not sure it would have made much of a difference, to be honest. I'm saying
it maybe would have given him a couple of easier options, and it would have looked less like a guy had wandered into a dominatrix's dungeon and forgotten the safe word.
I thought the Seahawks did a really good job of taking away anything, Diggs on almost every single play. And I'm not sure, even if he was 5 years younger, it would have made that much of a difference. It's just the secondary and tertiary pass catchers,
yeah.
The Patriots are not good. Booty's fine, and it's always fun to say he's wide open in the end zone, but he's not a particularly... He's not... He wants to be your third or fourth option.
Yeah, you want him to be number three, yeah.
Yeah. Matt Collins does one thing a game, maybe.
Yeah.
I would say
I think
that
he'd do better if he didn't have to wear shoes.
Matt, I mean, that's the thing. May actually also shows signs of being able to elevate players, which is what you want in your QB. Because he does, as you say, we just talked about these receivers who I think would be even look really be showing up elsewhere if they didn't have Drake May kind of doing what he does. And they are ahead of schedule, really.
Yeah,
this is his second season, and this is Vrabel's first season. So they are definitely, it's just the AFC is a mess. And
it just, they came through to the Super Bowl probably ahead, like you said, ahead of a schedule. You know, this if everybody else had been playing their best and everything else, this Patriots team probably doesn't make it through. But at the same time, in the regular season, he was able to get good play out of these receivers. You know, Booty looked good during the regular season.
This is why he needs to stay on the team.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Please keep Keyshawn Booty. And also, we got them away from their running game. So it did have to literally all be on Drake May's arm. They tried running it a few times. They had a couple of little bits of success with it. But for the most part, they just basically were just running into a wall.
Mm-hmm.
They would get a yard or two and just get mauled by somebody. Like Ernest Jones would just be there waiting for the running back and be like, "Hi, what's up? Sit down."
Duncan is right, though. There's plenty of things that they could have done differently. They never really booted Drake May out. They never really tried to move the pocket as part of a scheme rather than just getting May to scramble. And they never really got away from that 3-by-1 formation that they love to do all the time. It was just like, this will work. It's halfway through the fourth quarter. It's not working anymore.
Not working. Nothing's working.
Yeah.
I mean, when Drake May did get out, I think he managed to get out once on a scramble, and he did get a first down out of it, or almost get a first down out of it. And they just didn't go back to that, or just they just seemed to go away from it. Now, I don't know whether that's because the Seahawks sort of schemed it up so it looked like they were going to contain him. I'm not saying that's what they did. I'm just saying maybe they schemed it up so it looked like they're going to contain. So his instinct is to not then try and break the pocket before he realizes the pocket is getting thrown on top of him, which it did at one point. That was quite amusing. Excuse me, Mr. O'Lyman, can you go and sit on your quarterback?
There was one sack that I thought was brilliant. I think it was Riley Mills' sack where he sacked him through the offensive line.
Yes, he did. Yes, that is exactly the one I mean. Yes.
That was brilliant.
just
the poor guard just going,
"Get out of the way." just get away from my quarterback. No.
Wrapped his arms around the guard and Drake May and brought them both to the ground. Just fantastic.
Down we go. Take you all with me. Just use the offensive line to hit the quarterback. Just beat them with their own corpses. just take the bodies of them and just start beating quarterback with the limbs of his offensive line that you've ripped apart. It was fun.
I'm sure.
I liked was it a pick six or was it a fumble moment? That was fun. Because just like, was it a fumble? I don't know. It never touched the ball. It never touched the floor. And it did kind of leave his hand. So maybe it's an interception. Doesn't matter. He still ran it in for a touchdown.
I think by the letter of the law, because it was not the open hand going forward, which is what they look for to determine the fumble, that it was, in fact, an interception. So Everyone loves a bit of big man with football action. So
good job,
Noisu.
We love that.
Yeah, love to see it.
Always.
Duncan, big man picks. Anything else on the Seahawks defense specifically?
No.
No.
They were really good.
They were really good. Absolutely excellent. One more thing.
Oh, Ernest Jones' reaction being told he got 11 tackles was brilliant.
That was good. I love that.
Which followed on from our preview, because I was like, Kenneth Williams.
Yes.
Did enjoy how he also won the Super Bowl. That was great.
Everyone bigging up the British coach who came from, the Warriors?
London Warriors. Yeah. You love to see it.
Yeah.
Fellow Brit American football coach. Let's hope he gets a head coaching gig, because that'd be ace.
That would be excellent.
From Baffa to head coach.
Let's hope he will.
Exactly.
Nick Nurse made it from the BBL to a head coach in the NBA. So there is a through line there. Admittedly, that's basketball rather than American football. But, you know, there are people to follow.
I don't think anyone's coming looking in for a former coach of the York Centurions to lead their NFL football team. But we can live in hope.
I am filled with confidence that you could do a better job than Todd Bowles.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think you'd definitely be better at clock management.
Maybe. I'd like to think so.
Oh, yeah. No, that was the other thing, actually. There was questions around Vrabel clock management. Well, at least timeout management. It was shocking at times. Also,
I don't think that really mattered, if I'm being honest. Of all the problems they had to deal with, him calling timeouts. What was he supposed to call a timeout? The first time Drake May got almost killed, or the second time? Or the sixth time?
I can't remember. Was it that at least towards the end of the second half, there was a chance that they could have got into... There was a mess, and there was a chance they could still got into field goal range. And he didn't give them the chance because of the way he didn't call timeouts during Seahawks' possession. Is more that he could have stopped the clock more rather than during their possession. And he still could have got them into potentially. I know there wasn't much he could have done, and he was probably already rattled, but, you know, that there was that. There are some questions. And I'm also a bit influenced by 301, but there is that point about Josh McDaniels. Maybe.
Man, Mr. Forberts really went in on him, didn't he?
Bloody hell. But he had some good points. I was like,
I agreed with everything he said. I want to subscribe to his newsletter.
Right. Anyway, yeah, I have nothing else to say. Apart, yeah, I think there were some questions, but there wasn't much more he could do, as Phil says.
One thing to point out is there have been, I think, now four teams that have gone into the Super Bowl in the past 6 years with suspect offensive lines, and all four of them have lost. That's the Chiefs twice, now the Patriots and the Cincinnati Bengals. All of them have had dodgy-ass offensive lines, and all of them have come a cropper in the Super Bowl. So draft them high, draft them early. You cannot have too many offensive linemen.
Nope. Invest in the trenches, okay? We saw that with the Eagles. That offensive line was dominant for a reason. It's because they invested, they took the time, it was well coached and well drilled. And as a result, Super Bowls.
And it was every year. They drafted the trenches every year.
They did not care about the fact, the line we've got is already pretty good. We don't need to add more. No, we add more.
Because weirdly, people only remember the fact that they kept on drafting, and they remember the hits. They don't remember the failures because they just do it all the time.
Yep. And this segues nicely into talking about the Seattle Seahawks offense, because that is an offense that invested in the trenches on the offensive line. They were pretty poor last year, but that was mostly down to health, not talent.
We didn't have Cross or Lucas for large portions.
Lucas was out for the whole of last year, and it was doubtful at the beginning of the season whether he was going to play much of this year, but it turned out he was all right. Cross played the majority. He had a couple of games out, if I remember, did Mr. Cross. And then it was boosted by, piss, I've forgotten his
Zabel.
name. Thank you.
Praise Zabel. I haven't forgotten him. He had a really good season.
I couldn't remember his name. It was
Offensive rookie of
him.
the year, right there.
Well.
You and me both, Phil. I'm not just trying to get in your good books. He was my mid-season when we did our mid-season picks. He was the one the my hipster pickup. The rookie.
Yeah, I mean,
Anyway.
you're picking an offensive lineman for the Offensive Rookie of the Year award is a bit of a hipster pick in general.
But it wasn't just those two, Sudnall was drafted 2 years ago. Where did Bradford come from? Oh, you drafted him as well. There you go. All four, five spots drafted. There
Yeah.
you go. So
Invest in your trenches,
invest in the
kids.
trenches.
Okay, invest
It's
in the line. It does help.
Definitely does. So let's talk
And
about. Oh, sorry, Duncan.
a tight end who can actually block. Reasonable receiver, but can actually block.
Definitely. Let's talk a bit more about the offense. The Patriots defense, to be fair, really played well. They had a, if their offense could get anything going, they could have made a game out of this because of how well that defense was playing.
Christian Gonzalez needs a raise
Yeah.
immediately.
If you could give a
He
Super Bowl
saved.
MVP to a
He's.
losing effort, you need to give it to Christian Gonzalez. He was
Stopped
all over
at
the place.
least two touchdowns. At least two.
Definitely. He was
One was
outstanding.
literally just the fingertips that he got on it to stop that pass. And then the other one was just a great piece of athleticism to dive across and stop the ball again. Because if those go through, this is more of a beat down than it already was. You
He
know, this,
also
yeah.
he had did a really good job of taking away JSN all on his own. He
Yep.
was singled up on him, I think, like six times. They targeted him six times for one reception for not very many yards. Christian Gonzalez was immense,
Yes, he
absolutely
was.
incredible.
Outstanding play from him.
Not just him, Milton Williams again
Yep.
is going to wonder how he only left that game with one sack. He was this close to Darnold on numerous occasions.
Sam Darnold got real good at like dodging
Well, I
all
think
of a
that,
sudden. He was just like, nope,
to
absolutely
be,
not.
that was the difference between the two quarterbacks is Sam Darnold managed to avoid pressure and the big mistake, whereas May didn't.
Yeah, he definitely kept a cooler head. He stayed calm. He didn't necessarily make any of the big plays. He even said this himself. You know, he didn't feel like he played his best game. There were, you know, he said there were passes he missed that he could have got, but ultimately, he did what was necessary.
And he
He
didn't put them in a hole at all.
no, you know, he didn't make any mistakes. He didn't give the
I
ball
mean,
away.
some of
He'd only
it.
took the one sack, so he didn't lose his yards. You know, when he felt under pressure, he got the ball out quickly. He was reading the pocket well. So we saw it a few times where he would just make just a little, it wasn't like he made some crazy athletic move to dodge, you know, the defensive lineman coming through. He just would make like a little sidestep adjustment and then get the ball out. So that there was no chance that the guy would then come back and get him. It was a very savvy performance, I think, from Sam Darnold. It wasn't spectacular, but it was smart.
He was also a bit lucky because he definitely did put the ball in occasional harm's way.
It's Sam Darnold. That's kind of his thing.
Is. He
He
was.
can only not Sam Darnold it up so
Look,
much.
I know that we were going, if he continues like this, there's a pick coming. But amazingly, it didn't. And he did calm down. And then you saw that, obviously, with the score going that. As it was, there was the moment where we thought he probably could have run. There was a big gap. He could have run with the ball, but he didn't. And I felt that that was a comp. We thought maybe a confidence thing. And then later on, when he saw the chance, he did take the ball and he did run. I don't think it was a design run. I think it was a scramble.
Yeah, I definitely feel he definitely got more comfortable and confident as the game went.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Super Bowl. You can be forgiven for being nervy.
Cautious.
In the first and second quarter, especially, you're going to be conscious of the reputation you have of you know,
seeing ghosts
and, you know, choking in the big stages sometimes. So he's going to be aware of that. But I think, to have a little bit of nerves and stuff is only natural. But he definitely, as he saw the game going their way, he watched the defense go out every single time and absolutely, you know, demolish them. He's like, okay, I can afford to play a little bit more risky. I can afford to move the ball around a bit more. I can sort of relax and have a bit more confidence, because if I screw up, it's not like the Patriots are really going to score, are they?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you put it very well there, Phil, that he wasn't spectacular, but he was good enough to lead the team to victory. But we've got to talk about the Super Bowl MVP, the man who has just made himself.
Myers.
Huh?
Jason Myers.
Yes. The person who was given the MVP award.
That guy, yeah.
The actual MVP.
Yeah, yeah. Not the guy who scored all the points. Yeah.
No, the one who's given the award.
Yeah, I mean, he got a lot of yards. He got, he got over 100 yards just rushing, and I think another...
132 on the ground, 160-something all-purpose.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge game. It's just none of them got into the end zone.
No.
But...
Well, one did. One did. And then he got called back for a hold.
Yeah, I literally watched it. I was like, that's getting called back for a hold. Because I was on the chat with Duncan and Dan at that point. I went, that's getting called back for a hold. And they were like, that was almost prescient. I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, this Patriots defense is pretty decent. They're not that bad that they're just going to let him basically walk through.
But he's made himself a boatload of money because he's a free agent at the end of this year. So if the Seahawks aren't going to pay him...
I really hope we do. I like him very much.
If you guys don't, then, you know, the Cardinals will.
Yeah.
I think they will. I mean, there is also the point that he has a bit of a history of injury, but I think the Seahawks get how to use him because he is quite specific in how you can use him.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
I actually hope he stays. I mean, not...
Run outside. Mr. Walker, run outside. Okay. Yeah, because when you run outside, if we clear it well enough for you, you get lots of space and you can just go.
He has learned patience.
He has. He's really showed that. Bunch of times in the game, you could almost see him almost slow down to a stop and be like, wait for it, there's the gap, and just sort of go through it and just wait for it and wait. You know, I think when I was talking to you and Dan, I was saying the last running back I saw do that on sort of regular basis was Le'Veon Bell, who would just have that patience to just be like, I'm gonna wait, I know a gap will come in like half a second. He was just taking that little bit of time to just be like, and there's the gap, I can go and get through and get us another first down and guess. And that's what it was all about. They were always key runs. Is he may not have got a touchdown, but he got a bunch of first downs for us. He would get big yards when we needed it. They were all, the big plays were always timely. And I think from the whole offense, generally speaking, it was just a very professional performance. It was a very smart, we're not going to do anything too flashy. We don't need to. We're going to grind them down. The defense is going to exhaust them and keep getting us in decent field position so that when the opportunity finally comes, which it did in the fourth quarter, we can get, bang, the pass over the top to AJ Barner. And that was basically game at that point, because that put us up 19-0, and the way the Patriots were playing, it's not like they could get down the field quickly enough to score.
Mm.
to get back into the game.
Yeah, he's almost like Nate Tice uses this terminology a lot, teach tape for how to be a running back in a zone blocking scheme, because you need to have patience and wait for the holes to develop, because they're not schemed up holes. The line move in a general direction and stretch people out, and the gaps appear, and you've got to accelerate through them.
Yeah, you've got to react to what's in front of you rather than be like, I'm supposed to go here, so I'm going to go here, because the gap might necessarily be there.
Exactly. And in fact, the last running back to win Super Bowl MVP is possibly the greatest to ever do that. Terrell Davis was the last running back to win Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowl 32, the one where he missed half the game with a migraine and still put up 152 yards. So,
damn.
Yeah, Terrell Davis was a bit good.
That's Jesus. Last time I got a migraine, I had to phone in sick and basically spend the rest of the day in bed.
Yeah.
I suppose they probably have to have better painkillers on the sideline.
Potentially. It was the 90s.
Yeah.
Both glad and sad that this is not a video stream.
It's going to be very confusing to the audio listeners. Yes.
So, why did they all suddenly burst out laughing? I don't know.
Will just did a gesture. There we go.
It's the Michael Irvin favourite, yeah.
Yes, Winter Olympics in the 90s. We should totally talk about the receivers. The Patriots, like we said, with Twisting Lazarus, did a really good job at taking away passing options. Cooper Kupp led the team in receptions and targets and pretty much everything. Especially
he was the open thing over the middle, basically.
Yeah, and especially when JSN went out for a concussion assessment. He was the only part of the passing game, apart from that gorgeous touchdown to AJ Barna, which I loved. Won me 50 quid.
I thought Barna actually had quite a good game.
He had a couple of... So he had the touchdown moments. Catch. He had another big catch where he got us the first down, where he caught it and then basically sort of span out of a tackle to go and get the first down. And that's kind of what the whole passing game was like at times. It was just like, we would get to maybe like a third and long, and it would just be like a dump to Kupp or to Barna or to Shahid, just to get us the first down and keep the chains moving down the field.
I mean, the Patriots did do an excellent job of also ruining what Shahid can do. Like, because he would get down, but there was just no, the ball wouldn't get to him.
Yeah, thing is, I will say the Patriots schemed very well for the two sort of deep threat players. You know, they as we'll point out, JSN, I think, only caught one pass. Shahid, I think, only caught maybe two. And I think one of those was on like a screenish type play. And neither of those catches were like big deep passes. There was one where he did get open and it was just out of his reach, but that's because the secondary was doing such a good job of covering.
Yeah.
And the Patriots defense did a really good job of basically just making it difficult, but we kept finding ways to get first downs, and I think that just sort of kept breaking their back down a little bit, because it was just like they'd sort of like stop up like the big problems, but then there'd just be a little thing that we'd just get through. And yeah, Kenneth Walker was just he was so good. I know we're all saying that the defense should have got the MVP, but if you're going to give it to an offensive player, I think he is the choice.
I agree with that.
I mean, then there's the thing is the offense, I'm going to talk special teams because I think not just because the offense just got into a distance. Like, this was the thing I think we talked about in the preview, and so this is why I was watching. It's because you said this, Phil, last week, that we were talking about how McDonald, they just don't go for it on fourth down. And I was watching it, it's like, oh yeah, there's no need to. They punted because they've got the best punter who pops it onto, even if it does piss off Dan, who managed to stop the ball. Bellas Jones
actually twice got well down there and
did the thing.
Yes, but he was very angry about the ex-Chicago Bear who talked shit about the Chicago Bears and then did two good things in the Super Bowl. Dan was very unhappy.
It was very funny.
Very funny.
But Dixon does great, so that helps.
He's the best punter in the league. He could just pin you back. He just pinned you back because he's just going to, right, well, I'm just going to, where's the 1 yard line? There. Okay, yeah. It's going to bounce there and then go out.
It helps the defense, and then the offense is usually, was often, because, again, special teams just had the edge over the Patriots special teams. And so the
did
offense
we see
often,
much? I mean, we saw their punter a lot. I didn't see their kicker. What did their kicker do?
One PAT.
One extra point?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dick, just to put some numbers out there, Dixon managed to pin the Patriots back inside the 10 four times. He only allowed four return yards because of the weird way the ball comes off his foot and it like moves in a weird way in the air.
It's that Aussie rules football kick thing he does. Yeah. It just, yeah.
So yeah, that was good. Yeah, we've already talked about how Jason Myles is the real MVP because he scored all the points.
17.
Yeah.
He beat the Patriots single-handedly.
Yeah.
Single-footedly.
Yeah, the kicker would have done it by himself.
But I think, to be fair to New England, their punter actually had a really good game as well. They had a what's happened? What did I say?
Punt. Sorry, there's a series of videos that me and Duncan usually send to each other on the internet about a guy who loves punts.
It's usually mocking the Browns, and therefore we love it. But anyway.
Yes.
Sorry for that, Will.
No worries. But he did they obviously had a tactic to put a lot of hang time on the ball so that
he couldn't return. Yeah,
exactly. I thought they did a really good job of that. So fair play to them.
They're just like, look, we cannot let, because if you let him get any space, there is a chance he goes off. So we're just going to put it as high as possible. So the butter time, it gives your guys more time to get underneath it. So all he can do really is go, fair catch, catch the ball, and just be like, I guess this is where I am. I think he only returned like one, maybe two.
Two returns, for 16 yards and a long of 10.
Yeah, so exactly.
Eight punts is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, considering that guy is one of the best returners in the league and one of the most dangerous because he can just get to the other end zone in almost no time. It's a really, really smart play on the part of the Patriots that way, just to like just kick it as high as possible. Even if it means that they might end up being maybe a little closer, we'd rather that than them being, risking either a touchdown or him having a massive gain. You know, let's just, nullify threats where we can. Yeah, the Patriots clearly had decent game plan for a lot of it. They just didn't have anything for their offense to try and deal with the Seahawks defense, but to be fair, that's a problem that literally every team has had this year.
The Rams. They did a pretty good job of moving the ball.
The Rams do have Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams and three really good tight ends and Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, so that's all you need, Patriots. That's all you need.
So you need the MVP and two of the best receivers we've seen in the last 10 years.
Easy peasy.
Yes.
I mean the Rams had come close, but even then they didn't manage it, so
it's hard to plan for chaos. Or
you need the MVP, or you need Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield in his MVP form at the start of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you need.
To be honest, good Baker is pretty unstoppable when he's playing with confidence and he's got it going.
And his arm's pretty, not in a sling.
It's pretty damn good. It's just it's almost like his arm got really tired from carrying the team to comeback win after comeback win after comeback win to start the season. It's like, my arm hurts, coach, keep throwing it.
I'm tired, coach.
I'm tired, boss.
I'm so tired.
I'm so tired, boss.
So, yeah, get it together, Patriots. It's easy.
Yeah. Come on.
Do we have any more Super Bowl thoughts before we start to wrap this podcast up?
I really enjoyed the halftime show. It was a proper show.
It's not really my kind of music, but I had it on purely because that way he gets more numbers and it pisses off the racists, and that makes me happy. It looked cool. You had all like the moving plants, which are actually people, which I didn't realise until afterwards. And it was fun.
It had a lovely parade at the end. It was. Yep. It's made a lot of people who are already angry and bitter. And then it's had a better effect on a lot more people who've suddenly gone, oh my God, I love this sport anyway. And then this is, you've seen some really beautiful, beautiful videos. Yeah, music is, it's not necessarily something I would always listen to, but it's definitely something I have and would enjoy dancing to. I enjoyed the dancers as well. And the story, there was some beautiful salsa during Lady Gaga, Phil. Do not look at me like that.
And it was a story behind the dancing. I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah. There's stories everywhere.
The dancing. Yeah. Yeah, you definitely weren't staring at anything specific during the
Phil, I do not
the
know
Latina
what you're talking
girls
about.
Dancing.
I do not know what you're talking about. my eyes were just for Lady Gaga. You all know this. And real wedding as well. How
yep,
awesome
that was
is
a real
that?
Wedding. That was very cool.
I love that. Like, it was a proper show. That's the thing. It was actually a show.
Yep.
So, perfect for the time of day as well. It was all really good. I mean, Bad Bunny might sort of look a bit creepy. Don't know. The whole outfit was a bit creepy, but actually overall it was fine.
For me, Super Bowl halftime shows peaked when the entire crowd called Drake a pedo.
But last year. Yeah, Super Bowls don't go well for people called Drake.
Any more Super Bowl thoughts before we wrap up the final Gridiron Gentlemen of the 2025 season?
I would like to point out that it's quite satisfying having the team that won the Super Bowl be owned by a lady who did not donate any money to Trump and who donates much money to charities rather than a pasty old white dude with a questionably young wife who does give money to Trump and is a dick.
Although I did enjoy the fact that people in the Epstein files were taking the piss out of him for liking girls that were too old.
What do you mean he wants the legal ones? What's wrong with him?
Yeah, crazy man.
I am just very happy for Phil because it's made him very happy. I am also very amused that next year's Super Bowl is in LA at SoFi Stadium.
We have the chance to do the funniest thing possible. We're gonna just keep pissing off our rivals and winning at their stadiums. I think that's the key here. If we can do that, and then next year they, I doubt they go to Arizona, just because that's not a particularly good stadium.
They did it recently as well. One of the last two or three Super Bowls was in Arizona, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going back there quickly.
No. But maybe we'll do it in New England.
Nah, that's not in. We do it the Bills new stadium. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we can win there too. That's fine.
Anything else, gents? No?
No. Overall, no. Enjoyable.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It was all right. Yep.
Had a really good time. Yeah.
All right. So, unlike previous years where we have taken a break at this point, we will not be doing that this year. We will be back very, very quickly with our off-season programming. The collegiate gentlemen are going to help us break down the draft prospects as we get you all prepared for draft season. And I'm looking forward to that because I don't know anything about college ball. So Josh needs to tell me who's good and who the book should be picking. So keep look eye out in your feed. There will be another show this week as we start to talk about off-season storylines. So we will see you later this week for that show. If you want to get in contact with us and tell us how wrong our opinions are about Puerto Rican reggaeton artists, you can do so by coming to Blue Sky, where we are gridirongents.bsky.social, or you can check us out on Instagram, whereas if you search for Gridiron Gents, I'm sure you'll find us. But the best thing to do is come and join our Discord server, where we're having daily NFL chats. You can do that by visiting the pinned post on Blue Sky or looking for the link in the bio of our Instagram thingamajiggy. Thank you very much, gents. This has been a blast.
You.
And we will see you all later. Goodbye.
Victory.
We've got 7 months of this, folks. We've got 7 months of this.
I'm not even really sorry. I know I keep apologizing. I am fucking sorry.
I'm fine with it because I keep on figuring ways that it gets even funnier.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.